As I watched the confirmation class struggle to light the candles today, it reminded me of Friday night. I had the great joy of being present at Jefferson Davis' marriage to Alicia. And the story on that is that Jefferson's grandfather had gone into the hospital a couple weeks ago. When he went in, he told his doctors that he would be coming out to go to his grandson's wedding on the 15th of this month. And the doctor said, well, if everything progresses in the right direction. And Lynn said, no, you don't understand. And sure enough, Lynn was there. And Ellen performed the ceremony for her grandson's marriage. And I'll tell you, that was as moving a wedding as I've ever seen. It was just absolutely beautiful. Then they came to light the unity candle, and of course the bride and the groom candle had been creating pools of wax as they did that, so when they leaned them over the unity candle, all the wax came there and it completely covered the wick. So they couldn't light it and couldn't light it and couldn't light it. But Jefferson is an Eagle Scout, and his father was a Scoutmaster, and Jefferson just looked over at his father, held up his hand. His father threw the scout knife into his hand. He reached down, cleaned it out, and they lit it. Is that a family story that's going to live on for generations? It should. It should. And this scripture passage today is really, it's about family stories. Now, this is the part of Matthew that you are not going to usually hear. And if you do hear it, you're going to probably wish you hadn't heard it. But now you know what the story is behind it, that this is chock full when they would hear these stories of all these family stories that would come flooding back of what it means to be part of this family. So listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron, Hezron, the father of Aram, Aram, the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, Joram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amos, Amos, the father of Josiah, Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiad, and Abiad the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Ahim, Ahim the father of Eliad, Eliad the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The word of the Lord. All those names, and every one of them has a story behind it. When you hear about family and family values, people tend to think about tradition and stability, dignity, the solidity of a family, of knowing who your people are, who we are, how we've done things for generations, Families take great pride in saying, as long as anyone can remember, we've done it this way. And fortunately, a lot of them don't have very long memories. Family. I thought this Christmas season, this would be a good day to have us reflect on family values and modern family values. Because these stories out of the Bible ought to speak to us more, and to set us up for that a little bit, I'd like to think about Modern Family, the TV show, I mean. Modern Family has been on for about 10 years. If you haven't seen the show, you should. It's about a nuclear family who also has a step family, who also has a same-sex family, and they're all revolving around the father, Jay Pritchett, who's married to Gloria, who's from Columbia, not the school, the country. And it's the story about his first marriage and their spouses, or the children of his first marriage and their spouses, and then her child from her first marriage, and then their grandchildren, and then their step-grandchild, an adopted Vietnamese granddaughter. It's a wonderful show. It makes you think again about what do you mean when you talk about family. Gloria's from Columbia. She's 26 years younger than Jay. It makes his eldest daughter 2 years older than his current wife. There's some challenge in that. But they have a deep love and respect for each other. Jay turned 65. When he turned 65, everybody says, all your responsibilities are done. It's over. You can sit back and relax. And Jay is feeling kind of useless. And it's right at that moment that his wife announces that she's pregnant. And as she's pregnant, Jay is taking care of her. And he says to Manny, her first child from her first marriage, Manny's about 8 years old at the time. Jay says, Gloria needs watching. She's been having a bad case of pregnancy brain. Last week, I found a bar of soap in the fridge and a bar of butter in the shower. I spent the whole day smelling like a bucket of popcorn. And Manny says, it's better than the toast I ate. All these different stories, all these different marvelous stories. And there's one point, and this is very early in the first season. Jay makes a comment to the camera, and he says, you know, back in 1968 when I was sweeping up hair in the barber shop, I had this mental picture in my head of a family that if I was lucky enough, I would have a perfect wife, perfect kids. Well, guess what? I didn't get any of that. I wound up with this sorry bunch, and I'm thankful for that every day. Well, most days. It's a story, isn't it? Families are not perfect, and yet somehow, in the grace of God, we come to experience what a blessing they are. People influence each other. We're like magnets. Sometimes we're drawn to one another. There's this force field that's invisible, but we're just so drawn to one another, and other times the magnets get turned around and family gets pushed apart. But one way or another, we influence one another. And so it is with the story of Jesus' family. People who are in the story of Jesus, some of them were heroes, but they were tragic heroes or flawed heroes. And some of them were deeply flawed people, a lifelong problem, but there are moments of brilliance when they become the hero. I think it's important to see some of the subtleties of the story of these people connected with Jesus. It mentions Ruth this morning in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth was a woman who had it all. She had a wonderful husband. She had a wonderful child. She was set for life. Everything looked beautiful for her. It looked perfect. And then her husband died, and her child died. And she commits herself, rather than going back to her family, to staying and serving her mother-in-law. And you think her life's over because she lost so much. But then things turn around. At the provocation of her mother-in-law, She goes to the threshing room floor one night, and all of a sudden, whether Bible scholars want to admit it or not, there comes this moment when Ruth and Boaz get all drunkenly frisky on the threshing room floor. I want to call it frisky business. It's a family story. It's a family story of redemption and hope. Maybe not like people would think in terms of perfection, but God does these things. God works through these imperfect people in imperfect ways, and God brings about a new story and a new day and a new sense of hope. Jesus ended up knowing about faithfulness and about loyalty, and he would have known about that from his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother Ruth. He learned about second chances and scandalous behavior. It's part of his family story. And then there's Rahab. She's part of the family history also. Rahab, usually referred to in the Bible as Rahab the harlot. And if you don't know what a harlot is, Suri would be happy to tell you. Please not right now. But Rahab, for all of her imperfections, was a person of profound courage and compassion. And this woman who was on the very outside of society ends up being the one who saves the people of Israel. And she becomes the hero. An extreme outsider, an undesirable, an unmentionable, a foreigner, she becomes part of the lineage, of the history, of the story of King David and eventually of Jesus Christ. When Jesus would reflect on family values time after time, he would be one to welcome those outsiders in. And then there's the wife of Uriah. She's not mentioned by name in this list. She's kind of like Voldemort in Harry Potter, she whose name shall not be mentioned. She and David have an affair, and David has her husband killed, and it's a horrible scandal. And yet even here, God redeems the story of David and Bathsheba. And Bathsheba grows in her maturity and grows in her understanding, and there comes this point when she is the one who saves Israel and points them in a different direction than everyone else had been going. Why? Because our God is a God of scandalous situation who enters in and gives people second chances and redemption. All of these stories in the lead up to Jesus are stories about imperfect people where it is God that they learn to rely on, because God is a God who redeems people and takes their imperfections, their scandals, their flaws, their sins, and turns them around. Then all of a sudden, something new happens. And those stories are important because if God can do it with those people long ago, God can do it with us now. And therefore, all of our families have hope. I'm convinced that God knows our families. As much as we like to pretend that they're perfect, God knows we all have our own imperfections and scandals, unmentionable moments, tragedies and failures and flaws. Sometimes we end up digging holes that are so deep we think we can never get out of them. But ours is a God of impossible situations, where the unredeemed become the shining hope, where the lost become found, where the outsiders become insiders, and they become the compass that ends up guiding the future generations. Ours is a God of hope and new beginnings, and that's what Christmas is about. These stories are stories of Jesus' faith family. And after Jesus is born, he calls those who follow him his family, brothers and sisters, all of us. So these stories are not just their stories back there. These are our stories here and now. What is it in your life, your family, that needs to be redeemed, that needs a second chance, that needs a new beginning? That's what we have in Christmas, a modern family Christmas in the grace of Jesus Christ. Modern family story that, based in his story, gives us a sense of hope, a sense of possibility, a sense of God's blessing us. I like one episode in particular where young Manny, is reflecting on what it means to be a hero. He goes through a laundry list of what people usually say, that somebody you respect, you look up to, who's generous in spirit, somebody that from whom you grow and learn, someone you love. But then he stops and he says, the hero in my family is my family because of who we are together. And I think that's part of what the begats are about, this whole story of Jesus' lineage. It's all these people who may have been imperfect, but God brought them hope step by step, little by little, across the years. And then you come to see the whole long list, and you see it's because of who they were together that they came to have such a powerful influence. May we keep that family tradition going, our modern family in Christ, not out of our perfections, but out of God's love that redeems us, gives us second chances, gives us new beginnings, gives us the ultimate hope that we receive in Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas.